I heard a pretty good one-liner from Tim Skubick when he asked Governor Snyder at yesterday's press conference how many communities the governor wanted to merge or shut down, and the governor shot back that he didn't want to do that. With all the news and information coming out about the governor and what he needs local municipalities to do in order to receive their state aid, some folks are under the impression that the governor is trying to dictate what local communities do.
Well, no, this is, understand, this is, there are two kinds of revenue sharing. There's constitutional revenue sharing, and every city gets those under the Constitution. 15% of all the sales taxes that are collected are designated by the Constitution to go to municipalities in Michigan. That's townships, villages, and cities. The discretionary portion of it, the revenue sharing, that's dollars that the state takes in tax dollars that is redistributed to local units of government. All the governor is saying is, look, to get that money, there are certain conditions you're going to have to meet, and those involve just being transparent. They involve at least looking at the question of how you share services with your neighbors, and then getting a hold of the long-term costs that are eating up every local government across the state, the long-term costs of benefits, retirement, and health care benefits. So he's saying, let's get a handle on those because they're eating up our communities and they're eating up our state.
Bill, before we talk about some of those items that these communities are going to have to do, how are you going to get the proof that they're handling their business?
Well, all the governor is asking this year is that the communities certify that they're meeting these tests. I mean, it's going to be relatively easy. I mean, they either put a dashboard on their website or they don't. So it's relatively easy to tell whether or not these conditions that the governor has put forward are being complied with. And they're relatively simple. We actually worked with the Municipal League to put together a sample dashboard. There is a online already a transparency document that describes where the communities are in terms of their funding, what their long-term debt looks like. It's relatively simple to meet these conditions.
And for people who aren't familiar with dashboards, break that down.
Well, that means it's a measure of where you are. You know, what is your long-term debt? What percentage of your general fund is going to pay for long-term costs like health care and benefits for retirees? What commitments have you made the next generation of taxpayers are actually going to have to pay for? That's one set of things. And there are other things on there about quality of life. How walkable is your community? Are you creating a community where the young people that we so desperately need in this state are going to want to live? So it's just measures. It's a series of measures. And there are about 15 in the sample that say, where is our community going, and what are we doing to build a community that will be attractive to the next generation without not force undue costs on that next generation?
Is someone on your staff going to monitor these communities?
We're only asking the communities certify that they're doing these things. We're not going to create a new bureaucracy to look at this. We're asking that they certify that they're moving in this direction, and that's all we're at. We're trying to move the needle initially, Tony.
And if they don't, Bill, what happens?
Well, if they don't, then they're not going to get the next revenue sharing check. Yeah. I mean, these checks go out six times a year, every other month. And if they don't, if they decide they don't want to do these rather simple things, in most cases, then they're not going to get the check.
Well, Bill, that's the same thing my wife does. So,
that's exactly what I do. That's what my wife does to me too, Tony. Exactly. So it's not, it's not unusual. It's not. I don't think it's onerous. We're just asking that they begin to make progress on these fundamental issues that are affecting Michigan overall and affecting communities. You know, a greater and greater percentage of local government's budgets are going to pay long-term debt. My generation has been particularly guilty of this, pushing off the costs of everything to the next generation. We've done it at the national level, we've done it at the state level, and we've done it at the local community level. And we've got to stop that if we want to be a state that attracts young people and that has a long-term future, gets the entrepreneurs here that we need to have if Michigan is going to be successful in the future.
The governor wants to amend the State Public Employment Relations Act?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a rather simple amendment there. Right now, the Public Employment Relations Act, there have been cases where when two communities want to talk about merging something, two or more communities, like merging fire departments, to create a more efficient system. The act of the fact that these local units of government are talking, there have been claims filed saying that is an unfair labor practice, that communities aren't allowed to talk to each other about merging services because that can be an unfair labor practice. So all he's saying is let's mend it to make it clear that communities have the right, if they want to talk about merging services without it having to be a violation of the Public Employee Relations Act.
Bill Rustem is the governor's director for strategy and policy. Bill, changing collective bargaining laws. Oh, my goodness, you're going to shut down the unions and you're ending the middle class and so on and so forth. How do you react to that?
Well, this governor has said clearly that he is a supporter of collective bargaining, and he said in this message, it's not the question on many issues, it's not the question of if collective bargaining should occur. He's supportive of that. It's a question of when it should occur, for example. So he's offered some amendments to some laws that say, look, the bargaining process needs to start earlier, so we're not into this never-ending discussion about how to reach a resolution, how to pay for basic services at the local level. He's a supporter of collective bargaining. It's a question of tweaking the system so it works better for labor and it works better for management. We've got a system that has been in place for some 50 years. These are laws that are 50 years old, and they can be improved to move the process to be quicker.
Why are these labor unions kicking and screaming about this then?
Well, you know, it's like everything else, Tony. Nobody likes change. I think, you know, people want change, but they want change for the other guy. It's just like taxes. I always say that the only fair tax is a tax on the other guy, and that's just the way all of us think. And I think if people sit down and in good faith look at what the governor has proposed, talk about it, and the governor's had a number of discussions with a number of groups. We on his staff have had discussions with a number of groups. We're not talking about we're talking about change. But we're not talking about change that is dramatic. We're talking about moving a system in the direction of being more responsible and being more responsive and dealing with the $54 billion in long-term debt that we're handing over to the next generation of Michigan citizens, and that is unacceptable.
Bill, I played the devil's advocate by asking you what happens if these local governments don't partake in what you're asking of them. Let's play angel's advocate. What happens if they go beyond what you're asking?
Well, if they go beyond what we're asking, then certainly they put themselves in a position to be much healthier over the long run, and that means they're going to be a place that Michigan can improve. We did set aside $5 million that the governor set aside that says that, look, any communities that want to fully merge, create a new government, fully merge, will help them with the transition costs that are associated with that full merger. So there is a pot sitting there that the governor's proposed to reward and help those communities that want to go even beyond what he's talked about.
Bill, just a couple of more questions. We need to change the state binding arbitration law for police and fire?
Yes. Yeah, and the changes that the governor's talking about there is to make the process shorter and quicker. It's to assure that the community's ability to pay what the taxpayers in a local community have and the amount of money they've raised, that a community's ability to pay is key in an arbiter's decision. That's not the case with the current law. That is fundamental. That's a separate finding by the arbitrator. That is not true in the present law. That's one. Two, give the arbiter the right to look at what everybody in a community is being paid as he makes his decision on what the final settlement ought to be. And three, shortening the process by assuring that the last best offer from both sides comes in at the beginning of the arbitration process and not at the end of it. So these are simple changes that will change the process. This is a law that was first initiated in 1969, so it's 50 years old. We can move this process forward by just moving the system in a different direction, not eliminating the Act 312, the arbitration program for police and fire, but rather by changing it a little bit.
Bill, another step in the governor's plan seems like a no-brainer, prohibiting any city, village, or county charters from requiring minimum staffing.
That, again, is a rather simple change. There have been, in places across Michigan, and Pontiac's the best example, where petition drives have been initiated, where there was a vote by the people to have minimum staffing levels for fire in that case, saying you have to have some, you know, like, I don't know what the specific numbers are in Pontiac, but what it essentially says is you have to have 10 firefighters for every 10,000 people. Those things don't work because what they do is they restrict the ability of the managers, the city council and the mayor, to operate their budget. And in fact, in Pontiac, you have this requirement that they have this minimum staffing level. They can't meet it because they don't have enough money. And when they don't have enough money, they're in violation of their own charter every day, which is one of the reasons that they ended up with an emergency financial manager several years ago. If you make it impossible for government to operate by saying you got to have X number of firefighters, X number of policemen, X number of park officials, park operators, X number of people in your budget office, you just can't manage a local government. So the governor's saying, let's eliminate those for the future.
Requiring local pension boards to be more public in their decision and tightening their rules, especially on how they do business with folks on the pension boards, that seems to be a no-brainer, too.
Yeah, that's what the governor's asking for, is that the state basically adopt the same practices that the SEC is imposing on private pensions and saying, look, we've got to be more transparent. I mean, we've got to quit the buddy. Stop the buddy-buddy system for people that that serve on pension local pension boards. So he's offered some reforms there that'll frankly avoid some abuse and will make their operations much more transparent.
And finally, amending the constitutional Headley Amendment to require the state to pay for any new mandates imposed by local governments.
Yeah, he's not proposing amending the Constitution. What he's saying is, we need to implement what the Headley Amendment says, and that is to say that for every piece of legislation that is considered by the legislature that might impose a requirement on local units of government, there needs to be a fiscal note attached to it. In other words, what's the cost, and the state needs to step up to its obligation to pay for that, because that's what the Headley Amendment, which was adopted into the Constitution back in the 1970s, says, that if you impose a new requirement on local governments at the state level, you got to pay for it.
All right, Bill. Well, I understand what you're doing. My wife does these same things, and I live by the law, or I end up on the outside in the garage. So I understand what you're trying to do.
As I said earlier, Tony, nobody likes change unless it's change for the other guy. You know, that's just the way the world works. But overall, what the governor is saying is, look, if Michigan is going to be successful in the future, our communities have to be successful, and they got to help lead the way. And we've got to deal with this long-term debt of $54 billion that we're about to hand to the next generation of Michigan citizens. We got to have better communities. We got to have stronger communities. And this is a way to get there.
Bill Rustem is Governor Rick Snyder's Director of Strategy and Policy. Thanks so much for your time, Bill.
All right, Tony. Thank you.